little bit about what's going on.
I am Garrett Graham. I like to pose for pictures sometimes, make funny faces. I plan to attend John Tyler Community College for 2 years, then move to VCU, and then attend medical school for 3 years to pursue physical therapy.
Amen.
Amen.
Sydney, thank you so much. Congratulations to you too. And the same, we'll be praying for you as you go. And I'll have a gift from a church there to you there. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Sydney Wells. I'm going to John Tyler for 2 years, and then I'm going to transfer to VCU to major in radiology.
Amen. Congratulations. Amen. Thank you. All right, Xavier, let me get yours right here. Congratulations to you there, and we'll continue to be praying for you as well, and a little gift there for you from us as well.
Thank you.
I'm Xavier Graham. I'm planning on going to John Tyler for 2 years and then transferring to a private college. I'm majoring in history to be a history teacher.
Congratulations. God bless you, and we'll be praying for you. Stay in there. Share with us what's going on.
All right, my name is Foster Thompson. I'll be going down to Pensacola Christian College for 4 years to take pastoral.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Let this love fill the air. Let this love fill the air. And let Mary pray. Let Mary praise. Let there be joy in our hearts. Sing to the Lord. Give Him the glory. Let Mary praise. Let there be joy in our hearts. Forevermore. Let His love fill the air. And let Mary praise. The inhabitants of praise of His people.
longing for home.
A pilgrim and a stranger in this unfriendly world that I roam. For Jesus, who has brought me from darkness, has promised me a heavenly home. In the Bible we read of a city whose builder and ruler is God. Someday when this life is over, its beautiful sight will behold. I'm longing for home, the sun goeth down. I want to go where sweet rest can be found. Oh, I'm just about through. Within soul house of clay, I'm leaving this world for glory someday.
When the last 3 miles has been traveled and the gates of that city swing wide, oh, what a glad feeling 'twill be to know that heaven is mine. Beyond the dark veil of sorrow, with Jesus forever I'll be. To that city I'm going, behold the Savior to see.
I'm longing for home. The sun goeth down. I want to go where sweet rest can be found. Oh, I'm just about through with this old house of clay. I'm leaving this world for glory someday. I'm longing for home, the sun goeth down. I want to go where sweet rest can be found. Oh, I'm just about through with this old house of clay. I'm leaving this world for glory someday.
Important is that you know the Savior, and therefore you know where you're leaving to. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. A young man was getting ready to graduate college. Now, this is our graduate Sunday, and I'm preaching to graduates today, and I'm preaching to the rest of us that's already graduated before as well. But get this, a young man was getting ready to graduate college. For many months, he had admired a beautiful sports car in a dealer's showroom, and knowing his father could well afford it, he told him that that's what he wanted. As graduation day approached, the young man was looking for signs there that his father had purchased the car. Finally, on the morning of his graduation, his father called him into his private study. His father told him how proud he was to have such a fine son and told him how much he loved him. He handed his son a beautifully wrapped gift box. Curious and somewhat disappointed, the young man opened the box and found a lovely leather-bound Bible. Angrily, he raised his voice at the father and said, "With all your money, you give me a Bible?" And he stormed out of the house, leaving the holy book. Many years later,
The young man had become very successful in his business. He had a beautiful home, a wonderful family, but he realized his father was very old and thought perhaps he should go to him. Evidently, they had not had much contact since that day. He had not seen his father since the graduation day. I guess that makes it sense. Before he could make the arrangements, he received a phone call telling him that his father had passed away and willed all of his possessions to his son. He needed to come home immediately and take care of things. When his father's when he was going through his father's important papers, he saw the still new Bible just as he had left it years ago. With tears, he opened the Bible and began to turn the pages. As he read those words, a car key dropped from the envelope taped behind the Bible, had a tag on the dealer's and the dealer's name, the same dealer that had the sports car that he desired. On the tag was the date of his graduation and the words, "Paid in full." How many times do we miss God's great blessings that he has for us because it's not wrapped in the package that we thought it would be? We have to trust the Lord on so many things. When I graduated from high school, my dad made offered me a decision. He said, "I'll buy you a car, or I'll help you with college." And of course, the car that he was talking about was used. It was only about $3,500, which was a nice car back in those days. And I said, "I'll take the car." Well, you know, college is a lot more expensive than $3,500, even back in those days. The point that I'm making here with this is that we need to be wise not to sacrifice the excellent that comes with waiting on the altar of the immediate that may deliver very little. And I hope you understand that. God says it this way in Deuteronomy 32:29, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." Wisdom has the need, well, wisdom is the one who looks beyond the immediate and sees the future down. We can't understand and know all of what the future has to bring, but there are certain things that we can see that God has given us. For all of us today, here in Proverbs 20, if you back up into the previous chapter there to verse 20 of chapter 19, he says to all of us today, "Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." All right, here's the same type of statement. In order to be wise in our latter end, he says we need to hear the instructions of God's Word and heed it, to obey it. And so it's important, and I want you to hear the Word of the Lord today. I've entitled this "Faithful Men" as we look this morning at what God has to say here in Proverbs 20. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look in your Word. We thank you for all that has been going on this morning. And Lord, right now I pray that you'd help us to concentrate upon the truth of your Word, that we may be challenged in our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. In 1980s, the recruiting slogan for the U.S. Marine Corps was, "We're looking for a few good men." They also had a motto in the Latin. It states their code of conduct, both in battle and their personal lives. In the Latin there, "Semper Fidelis," which means faithful always. "Semper Fi" is the verbal shortcut of that. But faithful always, or always faithful, and certainly that is what God wants from us as well. Faithfulness is exemplified by God Himself. We sing about it in our songs. We read it in Lamentations. "Great is thy faithfulness." God certainly exemplifies faithfulness to us. It is looked for in God's disciples, according to what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2:2 to young Timothy. He said, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to whom? To faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." And so it's required there of us as disciples to be faithful people, and then certainly of stewards itself. A steward is someone that God has entrusted something to, specifically, and that is true of each one of us. It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And so faithfulness is that that area that is exemplified by God but expected in our lives as well, as we are to be found faithful. Faithfulness, when it is judged by man, is called our testimony or our reputation as they judge, as they see what we're known for and by. But faithfulness, when it is judged by God, we could call that our character. That's our real us. Now, those two ought to be the same. When they're not, what is it called? Hypocrisy. And so we are to be found faithful in our character and in our testimony, our reputation. All of that should be the same, both in God's eyes and in the world's eyes, people's eyes. God wants us to be found faithful. So as we look here at this subject then, in Proverbs 20, in verse 6, it says there, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? And in Solomon's day, it was evidently a strain to find true faithful people of that day. And unfortunately, in our day, that might be the same category or the same problem as finding people that are truly faithful. And I hope that we have some faithful people in here today. But I think faithfulness is defined a lot in the eyes of the person who's evaluating themselves. I am faithful to come to church. I come once a month. Right? I mean, it depends on what the person is thinking faithfulness is, you see. And so God's eyes is the key that is there. What does God say faithfulness is? What is His judgment of faithfulness? When the Marines went into a mission, their mission was one thing, Semper Fi. Always faithful. Whatever the responsibility, always faithful there. I want us to consider the mission of the faithful man. First of all, the mission of the faithful man is to be truthful. We live in a society today that is not truthful at all. Matter of fact, there are a lot of people today, and unfortunately amongst Christians also, that say, well, you know, that's just a little white lie. And a little white lie may be, you know, you're just leaving out some of the facts. You're not telling the whole story. Or there's the black lie. You know, that's a really bad type of a lie that is there. Let me ask you something. What all do they have in common? They're all lies. All right, so you understand that, whether it's a white lie, black lie, whatever kind of lie it is, it's all lies. And we're a liar if we're involved with that. We are to be the one that has a mission of being faithful in telling the truth. We operate in a society today that says in order to succeed, you must play by the world's rules. And unfortunately, there are some Christians that think that in order for them to run their business or in order for them to be in their office and to do certain things, they've got to lie, they've got to cheat, they've got to scheme, etc., in order to get ahead because that's the way the game's played, they say or think. But notice what God says, Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of 50 and rulers of tens. God says that His standard, for those especially that are going to be leaders there, they ought to be truthful people. And folks, we are leaders, every one of us. We may not lead anybody but our family. We may not lead anybody but others that watch us. I was watching Brock and Kayla. We babysitted Friday night through last night and late. And one of the things Brock did that was wrong, Kayla got right up behind him and did the same thing. And I said, now look, Brock, did you see that? Your sister is watching you, and you led her to do the wrong thing. You see, we're all leaders. And whatever capacity we may be, and God expects us to be truthful leaders, truthful people before Him and in His eyes there. Don't listen to society, what they say. Listen to God. Seek to be people of truth. Not only is the mission of a faithful man there to be truthful, but it is to be trustworthy.
In verse 19 of Proverbs 20, it says, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with the lips." Here is a talebearer. What do we call it in our day? It starts with a G. A gossiper. One that's involved in gossip. Now, I hope that none of you in our church are involved in gossip. But I would be stupid to think that that's true. Gossip is a sin that seems to creep into a lot of places. And unfortunately, it does in the lives of believers as well. It no way excuses it. There's no way that it's... Matter of fact, one of the seven sins that God hates, he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's what gossip does, exactly. You have to be very careful about being around someone that is a gossip. It says to stay away from them there in that verse, actually. By the way, when you're with somebody that gossips about somebody else and when they keep talking about what they are doing and you know this about them and all that, have you ever asked the question when you leave, what do they say about you? You see what it's like being around that kind of a person? They don't stop gossiping just because it's you. If they're a gossip, they're going to gossip about anything that they know because it makes them feel like they're somebody. And so please understand there, don't be a gossip. Don't be anyone that's hanging out with those that are gossip there. Be careful there. A person that is trustworthy is one that can be trusted with secrets. Can be trusted with secrets. Secondly, he can be trusted with his stewardship or in stewardship. As I said earlier there briefly, stewardship is anything that you are entrusted with a responsibility, whether it be like, speaking from God here, our talent, our ability, our time, the opportunities of ministry, all of these things are stewardship responsibilities that we have been given. And so we are to be found faithful. We can be trusted in our stewardship. In Matthew 25, Jesus gave the parable of the talents. And in that, he says there that there was, the illustration there was that there was a lord there over his servants and so forth, and he was going to take a trip. And so he issued into his servants there, one he gave five, and to another he gave two, and to another he gave one. And they were entrusted with this. They were stewards of those things that he gave. And then he went on his journey. When he came back, he came and evaluated what they had done. And to the one he gave five, he gained five more. He had ten. And he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And then to the one that he had given two, he had gained two. And he said the exact same thing, "Well done." That tells us this. It's not about how much, but it's about how much in relation to what God has given you. See, we're to be faithful with what God has given. You can look at your life and say, "Well, you know, God only gave me this much, and he gave that much to that person over there. It's really not important for me." No. God is going to judge you the same way he judges them. Not with how much, but how much did you do with what he gave you. And so the responsibilities that we have, the things that God has entrusted us with, it is our responsibility as a steward to be found faithful. And so the mission of this faithful person is one that can be trusted in his stewardship to be found faithful. We want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," from our Lord. So we see, first of all, the faithful man and his mission. He is to be truthful and trustworthy. Secondly, we see the faithful man and his morals. Look at verse 7. In verse 7 it says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." The just man and the faithful man, that's the same person. It's talking about the same one. He is a person of integrity. The definition of integrity is uncompromising adherence to moral and ethical principles. Uncompromising adherence to moral and ethical principles. That's what integrity is. That's what we're to have as believers today. We're to have morals. We're to be faithful in those morals. We're to have that integrity. Integrity and honesty are mandatory traits of the faithful man. It is lacking so much today in society, and sadly, it is lacking within the church even today. Warren Wiersbe made this statement. He says, the church has grown accustomed to hearing people question the message of the gospel because to them the message of the gospel there is foolishness. Now you understand that. Scripture even tells us that to the lost person, when they think about the gospel message, it's foolish. It doesn't make any sense to them. People used just to reject based on that. But anymore, it says, but today the situation is embarrassingly reversed. For now, the messenger is suspect. You hear what he's saying? It was not just that the message was something to be rejected, but now they have a problem with the messenger as a Christian, because there's so many Christians out there that are hypocrites, that are immoral people, even amongst pastors. You know that years ago, a pastor was a person that was greatly honored. He was truly a reverend. They showed reverence to, just because of his position. But there have been so many men that have messed up in their morals as pastors in the years of preceding, that nowadays that's not the case. Nowadays people look and kind of wonder, are you one of those perverts? Are you one of those immoral people? Are you one of those that break your word like so many others have done? And it's a shame. And it's a shame not just for pastors, but for us as believers, if we have that testimony, and we need to be the exception of that, making sure that our morals are right, that our trustworthiness is known. And so this man that is going to be faithful with his morals, there are three things that I believe that's true of him. Number one, he pays attention to God's word. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination unto the Lord. What is Solomon talking about here? Well, the divers means different kinds of weights, different kinds of measures. In other words, when the Old Testament economical system was going on, the way that they did business, the owners would have a balance or a scale there in which they would weigh, and they would have trades. But the guy that was crooked would rig his scale to his advantage, you see. And so he says, don't you have any different kind of weights and measures. You have the proper kind, because that's what God's Word says. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 36, it says, just balances, just weights shall ye have. I am the Lord your God. We're to have the correct one. We're to do our business correctly, no matter what the other crooked people may be out there. We're to do it because God says so. The faithful man in his morals, first of all, is that way because he listens to what God says. He listens to what God's Word says. So he pays attention to God's Word. We're to know God's Word. We're to keep God's Word. That is important. Secondly, in verse 11, he pays attention to his conscience. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether they be right. Another thing that happened, Brock and I was talking, and Kayla had done something, and I said, you know, Kayla says, no, says, you're not being good. And Brock says, oh, we're good. Mommy tells we are. We're good. I'm a good boy. And I said, let me talk to you about that. So we had a little talk, and I explained. I said, now, when you're doing good, Mommy says you're a good boy when you're obeying. But does Mommy say you're a good boy when you're disobeying? Well, finally, the short story is, he came around, he admitted, yeah, you know, he understands, and he does. You know, kids even understand and are known whether or not, you know, they're doing right and wrong there. And there's a conscience within them, if not even instruction, but that conscience within us can guide us to right and wrong. A good working conscience is for that purpose. And so not only does the moral man, the faithful moral man, pay attention to God's Word, but he pays attention to his conscience, to have a good conscience there, free and void. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 24:16, I herein do exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I don't want to have a conscience that's bothered by anything that I've done in my relationship with God or my relationship with other people. We ought to be free from that guilt and so forth in our workings with others. So a faithful man should seek to maintain a good conscience in order to govern him. And so he pays attention to God's Word. He pays attention to his conscience. And thirdly, he pays attention or remembers his convictions. A conviction is something that you have predetermined or predecided that is going to be true, that is true and right for you. From God's Word, we get the truth. It was said here recently, or reminded of hearing it, I'd heard it many years ago, but something is not true because it's in God's... No, something is not in the Bible because it's true. It's true because it's in the Bible. You get that the difference there. John 17:17, thy word is truth. It is not just that it contains truth, but it is the truth. And so truth is true because it is what God has said. And so we need to understand that. And it's those things that are true, those things that are right, that we ought to predetermine in our own lives that we are going to adhere to as our convictions. Grads, could I speak to you just for a moment? You're starting a new chapter of your life, a time in which you're going to be step by step getting further and further away from your parents and your home, etc. And in that time there, those decisions that you make, the things that you become known for, your reputation and the character that God knows that you are, that is going to be totally up to your decision, your choices. So the things that you choose for your life, that's the person that you're going to be known for. So anymore, you need to be very careful about the choices that you make. You need to make sure that your convictions are right and that you're going to be a man or a young lady that is going to follow those convictions that are there. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And we have to have convictions where we purpose, we predetermine in our heart that we're not going to cross the line. Faithful men have convictions about what they believe and about what they do. Let me ask you a few questions, grads. Will you quit serving God when it comes to living on your own? Will you quit going to church? Will you quit reading His Word? Will you quit witnessing? Will you compromise your behavior? Are any of those things are going to be true about you just because you step away from your home? Those of us that are not grads here this day, I ask the same questions to you. How do you answer those questions? Where do you stand? Are they your convictions or your parents? Do you believe what you believe because you believe it or because the church believes it? See, you've got to be your own person when it comes to standing before God. I'm not going to stand before God for you. I'm going to have to give an account for what my responsibilities to you. But you're going to stand individually before the Lord and give account of yourself. And every one of us have that individual responsibility. And the choices that you make right now are determining the type of person that you're going to be known for in the future. Pay attention to God's Word. Pay attention to conscience. Pay attention. Remember your convictions there. A faithful man, it not only will be a man with morals because he does that, but he will have a mission to be truthful and trustworthy. So, graduate, does God see you as a faithful man, young man, a faithful young lady? You've got to answer that question in your mind. God knows the answer in His mind. If you are, then determine now to continue in these months and years ahead. But if you're not, why not right now stop and say, from this day forward, as I start this new chapter of my life, Lord, I want to be a faithful
young man or a faithful young lady for you. Now to the rest of us here, same question. How does God evaluate you this morning? In His eyes, are you a faithful man, woman? If you are, I encourage you to continue in that faithfulness. I'm not asking the question, do people here at the church think you're faithful? I said, does God think you're faithful? So you can pull the wool over my eyes, but you'll never pull the wool over His. Unfortunately, you know, we can pull the wool over our own eyes. Ask God to help you to be honest as you evaluate yourself today. If you are, continue in the faithfulness. But if not, why not right now? As you start summer, here the first Sunday of June, say, Lord, I want to be that faithful man or woman in your eyes that you want me to be. Will you make that decision today? Every head bow, please. I've talked to you today primarily about, from the standpoint of a Christian, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and that you want to be the faithful young man or young woman that God wants you to be. And I pray that you would make that choice. I believe that the graduates that we have before us, I believe every one of them are a genuine believer. I believe that they have a heart to serve the Lord. But I also believe that not a one of them are perfect, just like none of the rest of us are. And for every one of us, what will be our commitment today? What will be our desire to live for the Lord hereafter? That's the decision that's in your hands today. Father, I pray for every one of our graduates, for every one of our parents, for every one of our members and attenders that are here today. I pray that you would help us to appreciate what you have reminded us of and the desires that you have for us to be found faithful in your sight. Lord, I pray that as we are faithful in your sight, that we would understand that that would translate into faithfulness by those that watch us. And Father, for the others that don't understand, that don't have the same appreciation, Lord, help us not to be swayed away by their views. Lord, that is not what's going to be important in the future. Help us to consider our latter end and to be found wise by the choices that we make. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.